our cares. You got a Bible with you today, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We know that in the Gospels, some of the key figures are a group of people called the Pharisees. These were the religious crowd, the religious leaders of the day, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes. I mean, this religious community. And they are typically kind of viewed in a negative light because they had really lost the real true meaning of what they were supposed to be doing in the first place. Well, they're going to be the subject of our sermon today. And there's some lessons that we can learn from the Pharisees, these chief priests, in this passage today that we want to look at. Verse number 23 of Matthew chapter 21, it says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him, and he was teaching, and said, By what authority does these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you this morning. And God, we want all eyes, all attention to be on you today. God, this is your day. This is your word. It's your church. And God, we've come to glorify your name. And God, I pray that you, by the Holy Spirit, would move on hearts, that we can focus on you today. And God, I pray that by the Spirit, you'd make your word alive to us, that we could see some things that would help us in this life. God, we pray for those that we mentioned earlier in prayer requests. We pray you'd touch each one. We pray you'd bless even the unspoken requests that you know of. Lord, we love you today, and we give glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is in the temple, and can you imagine being there for a minute? I mean, Jesus was literally in the temple teaching, and imagine what it would have been like to be there, to walk in, and to be living in a day and time when Jesus was on the earth. And there Jesus was in the temple teaching, and we read throughout the scriptures where a lot of people would come, and when they heard Jesus teaching, they would be astonished at his doctrine. They'd be amazed at the authority by which he preached and taught, and amazed at the words that he was saying. And that was going on that day in the temple. And here comes the chief priests and the elders, and there was Jesus teaching in the temple, and they completely ignore the teachings of Jesus and move right on in to questioning him. I want you to know that even though that was a great advantage in that day to be alive when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth, I want you to know that today we have a greater advantage than they had. Because today in our hands we hold a completed Bible that is God's Word. From Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover, every word in this book is God's Word. And I don't have to go down to a temple to hear Jesus teach and preach. Jesus Christ's teachings and preachings are in my home every day. And we can take up a Bible every day and we can know what Jesus thought. We can take up a Bible every day and we can know what God has to say about it. And so we need to take advantage of the opportunity that we have today. We can maybe look at the chief priests and the Pharisees and we can say, what a squandered opportunity. But I think we would agree that there are more wasted opportunities in our day than there were in that day. You know, I was in class the other day, and I give the kids a verse every day, and we journal on it. And this journal was on the fact that, and this is what they do every day. They open it, they read it, and they say, tell us what it means, right? I want them to read it and figure it out on their own, but they want me to tell them what it means. And this verse was about when Andrew met Jesus. And the Bible says he first went and found his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. He said, we have found the Messiah. And he went and found, got Peter and brought him to Jesus. And so I was talking to this student, and I was trying to kind of walk him through it. And I said, what did Andrew do? And they said, man, if I met, you know, I said, now write something down about it. And they said, man, if I met Jesus, I would go and tell others and bring them to him too. I said, well, do you do that now? Do you do that now? Have you met Jesus now? Are you bringing everybody that you know to him because you've met the Savior and you want to bring them to him? And they were like, ooh, you know, you kind of hit them like, ooh, I see what you're saying now, right? I think we would all, you know, if Jesus Christ came today and was in the Superdome today, nobody would probably be here today, because y'all would all go down there to hear Jesus teach in the Superdome. But I want you to know, Jesus is teaching every day. He's teaching every day. God is not silent today. He is still teaching. He is still preaching in churches across the world, just like ours today. When we open up God's Word, we are opening up His, in fact, words. And when we read it, we are reading what Jesus said and what happened in His day. And so, don't overlook that. And don't miss the opportunity. Don't say, oh, I wish I had this or that. No, pick up your Bible and read it. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. It will transform you. It will make you a new person. It will make you a new creature. But they, in their day, ignored Jesus. And they ignored Him for some reasons that I think could help us today. You know, there are people that are ignoring Jesus today. He's here today, amen. The Holy Spirit's here today. His Word is open today. And yet some chose not to come today. There's countless people. There's 47,000 people live in Washington Parish. And let me tell you something. There's not 47,000 people in church this morning. There's probably not a quarter of those people that are in church this morning. People chose not to come. They said, hey, it's not that big a deal. We're not that captivated. Why? Well, a few reasons the same would be the same as the chief priests in this day. Number one is they had a preconceived idea of what truth was. And before we judge them too hard, we can be found in that same boat. I remember talking to somebody one time, and you know, we're Baptist in here today, and if you let me tell you what Baptists believe. Baptists believe that once you get saved, once you give your life to Christ, once you get born again, that you are in the family of God forever. That you can't lose your salvation. That you would get adopted into the family of God and you're a child of God. And He said, as many as come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, if you're in me, you're in the Father's hand, and I'm in His hand. Nobody can pluck me out. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. And I asked somebody one time, I said, they were talking about what somebody believed and how silly it was. And I said, well, you believe in the security of the believer. You believe in once saved, always saved. That's how a lot of people say it. And they said, I do. I said, well, why do you believe that? And they really could not give me an answer. They said, well, God's just good. I said, that's not good enough. God's just good. If I'm going to die and I'm going to go off into eternity believing that I'm saved and can't be lost, then I need to know why more than God's just good. I need to have a better answer. And some of us have a preconceived idea of what truth is, and we haven't really fleshed it out. We haven't really unpacked it. We just believe it. Some of us are like everybody else. We're Baptists, and guess what? Some people just raised Baptists. There's some people that's raised Catholic. There's some people that's raised Pentecostal. There's some people that's raised Mormon and Muslim or whatever. And you know why they believe what they believe? Because that's the way they was raised. We don't need to be those people. Okay? Let me tell you what we need to do. We all need to be in a passionate, relentless search of truth. And if we come to find out that something, if I come to find out something I've believed all my life is not true according to the Bible, you know what I need to do? I need to change according to the truth. I don't need to say, well, I've always believed this, or well, I don't know what mom and daddy will think, or well, I just don't know. No, we need to be in search of the truth. These men did not come to Jesus that day in search of the truth. They came believing what they always believed, and they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And by the way, there'll be people who come in here. I've had people come in here and sit there, and as I preach, they're doing this. You'd like this. They're doing this. Don't you want to preach and have somebody sitting there looking at you doing this? I'm going, this is going to be good at the back door when this person comes by, as they sit there and just shake their head at me the whole time. They don't want to hear the truth. And they don't want to believe what God's Word has to say. But let that never be us. Search the Scriptures and find out what the truth is. Search and find out whether or not we even believe the Bible is a credible book. Eternity's on the line, and that's what God would have us to do. God's not afraid of anybody's questions, okay? Jesus wasn't afraid of their questions. We're going to get to why he wouldn't answer them here in a minute. But he doesn't mind that we question. He never calls on us to just blindly follow. He's given us evidence after evidence after evidence to follow a sure path that God has laid for us. So I want you to know, it's not wrong to question as long as we are pursuing truth. Now, if we want to question because of our preconceived ideas, or we want to question because we don't want to believe, that's another story. But God wants people to come and find the truth. The Bible says this, that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth equals freedom. And I want to know the truth. They didn't want to know the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe. And by the way, y'all know people in your life that will not change and will not come over because they do not want to believe the truth, and they don't want to say what they believe all along is not right. Now, they also questioned his authority. Let me say this to us as believers today. You say, well, you might be here today and come to this conclusion. You said, I believe that God's Word is, you believe this Bible is God's Word. And I'm talking a little bit about Baptists today. Let me tell you another thing about Baptists. We believe in the Scriptures alone. This is enough. This is what rules the church. Brother Derek don't rule the church. The Bible rules the church. It governs the church. We believe in the Bible by itself. It is the final authority. It is enough, the Scriptures by themselves and alone. And so you might say, I believe that. I believe that it's God's Word. I believe it is what can govern my life. Then if you believe that, then don't question Jesus' authority. Let him be king. If you believe he is who he said he is, if you believe he's the creator of all things, if you believe he's the Savior of the world, if you believe he's the king of the universe, if he's the king of the universe, let him be the king of your house. Okay? If he's the king of the universe, let him be the king of your heart. And let him rule and reign in our lives. And listen, sometimes I'm wrong and I got to say Jesus is right. And I got to do what Jesus says to do. Sometimes I don't like what Jesus says. You say, man, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus told me I got to forgive people. And I'm like Peter. I said, how many times I got to forgive them? And he said, well, you just got to keep forgiving them. I don't like that. I want to not forgive them. I like to hold a grudge. Isn't that awful? That's evil, isn't it? But I like to hold a grudge. Jesus said, don't do that. Well, you know what I got to do? I got to forgive them then. He said to. He's the king. That's what I got to do. Man, he said, I got to love people that aren't very easy to love. I don't like doing that. But let me tell you what, God said do it and I got to do it because he's the king. And so if you believe that he is the king, let him be the king. You know, another thing is, they came in, and I can relate to this. They've been grown up as Jews. They've become chief priests. They've become the Pharisees. They've become the religious rulers. And the bottom line is, they did not want to be wrong. You know what I hate? I hate being wrong. That's why I never am. Amen. You know, I just hate it so bad. I just ain't. That's why I never am. But you know what I mean? You just don't want to be wrong. Don't you hate when you got to go up to somebody and say, I was wrong. I said this and I was wrong, or I believe this and I was wrong, or whatever the case. That's what they're, you know what would have happened to these people if they'd have believed Jesus? They'd have had to say to their congregation, to the people that they're following, they'd have to say, I'm wrong. And he's right, and we need to follow him. We need to shut this down, and he's the Savior, and we're going to all leave and follow him. That was a big deal. And they just could not bring themselves to say that they were wrong. Here's the sad thing today. Y'all listen to me. These people are dying and going to hell because they don't want to be wrong. Dying and going to hell because they don't want to be wrong. I'd rather say I'm wrong and get right than die and go to hell and be wrong. You know, I sat and talked to somebody one time, and I took the Bible, and I told him, I said, look, we're not going to talk religion, right? He was a certain religion. I said, let's don't talk religion. And if you ever witness somebody, this is a good thing to do. Ask them this. Say, do you believe this is God's Word? And a lot of them will say, I do. And if they do that, you say, okay, good. Let's talk about God's Word. And I took God's word and I said, well, look at what this says. We'd talk about it. I'd go over, I said, look what this says. We'd read it. I said, look at what this says. We went through it. I said, now what is, according to God's word, what do you think? He said, well, according to God's word, my religion is wrong. I said, oh, we've made a breakthrough. He said this, but I ain't changing my religion. Then what do you do? Then you got to walk away and say, okay, ain't nothing I can do at that point. He said, according to God's word, my religion is wrong, but I'm not going to change my religion. These people want to die and go to hell and be wrong, you know. I remember one time I was in the Air Force and in the Air National Guard, and I would go, and every weekend I would go, and every once a weekend out of the month I'd go to Belle Chasse for drill, and they'd put me up in a hotel room, you know, and I had to share a hotel room with somebody. And it seemed like every time I was with somebody new, and, you know, you meet them and they'd say, what do you do? And I'd say, well, I'm a preacher. And boy, that would really, it seemed like it always started some kind of deal. And the guy I was with one day, he said, my girlfriend's mom is a preacher. I said, your girlfriend's mom is a preacher, huh? And he said, yeah. Well, I got my Bible out and I said, man, look at this. And he said, what's she do with that? I said, I don't know. He said, well, I'm going to ask her about it when I get home. I said, okay. Well, I'm sure he got in a lot of trouble when he got home. But, guess what? It's not about what we think. It's about what God's Word says. It's not about being right and wrong. It's about finding out the truth. Don't worry about who's right and wrong. Worry about what's right in God's eyes. Find the truth. They didn't want to be wrong. By the way, too, there's a lot of people's lives are destroyed over who's right and who's wrong. It really doesn't matter. What do you want to do? You want to destroy your life because you don't want to admit you were wrong? Families have been destroyed. Lives have been destroyed. Just say, hey, I was wrong, and it's my fault, and move on and move forward. And even if it wasn't your fault, amen? You know, we can do that. You know, you can take a little of that and move on. That's what you got to do when you're married, right? Just say, it's my fault, and move on. Isn't that how you survive? Just go on. But that's what you need to do. Don't destroy your life over the fact that you do not want to be wrong. Another thing, so then Jesus issues a challenge, right? He said, okay, y'all want to know what authority I got? That's fine. He said, I'll ask you a question. If you answer that question, I'll answer your question. He said, John's baptism, John the Baptist, his baptism, was it from God or was it from man? And then the Bible says they started reasoning within themselves. They said, well, if I say that it was of God, he's going to say, then why ain't y'all believe him? Why'd y'all reject him? They said, if we say it's of man, everybody here is big fans of John the Baptist and they'll turn on us, right? Here was another problem with the Pharisees. They feared what people would say. They feared what people would say. You know, those same people I talked about earlier, whenever I show them the Bible and they say, according to the Bible, my religion's wrong, but I'm not going to change. You know what those same people say? I can't leave my religion. My grandma would be too upset. This isn't like just preacher points up here today that I'm talking about. I'm talking about facts. I'm talking about people say my mama would be too upset. That happens. That is said. I could never do it. Hey, look, we always go to church with my grandma every Sunday, and if we leave the church, my grandma would just be, I can't hurt her feelings. Well, so you're going to die and go to hell because you don't want to hurt grandma's feelings. It's your eternity on the line. And we worry what people will say. You know, sometimes I got to preach some things up here that's not easy, and I know some people ain't going to like it. You know what you got to do? You got to preach the truth, whether people like it or not. But I gotta live it if I like it or not. It's the truth. It's what God's Word said. And so we can't fear what men say. I tell people sometimes you get in, and it's really leading anything. It ain't just a church, but you lead anything. Look, if you want to please everybody, you need to buy you an ice cream truck, okay? Because other than that, you ain't going to please everybody. Unless you sell an ice cream, you probably can't even please everybody with that. It won't taste as good to everybody else. But the reality is we're not going to please everybody. I've had people come, it's an amazing story. This is, again, these are not lies. These are real things that have happened. I've had people tell me before that I'm just the greatest thing that's ever been in all the world. And, man, I love when I hear that. And then them same people will come and be like, no, I'm leaving the church. I say, well, why? And it'll be some little small little thing I preached about. And I remember one time, and by the way, we're Baptists here, so everybody knows what's up with what we believe. I had a guy, he told me one time, he said, man, you like John Hagee, man. You're this great preacher. I said, and I don't really like John Hagee, but I said, I'll take that as a compliment. I know you mean it as one. And then he kept coming, and he was so great. Well, he found out one day that I didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And I went and seen him. I said, what's the deal, man? He said, well, you got up there and said you didn't believe in speaking in tongues. I said, well, I don't. I said, we're a Baptist church. And then I said this. I said, what is tongues? And he couldn't really answer me. But it was a big deal to him, but he couldn't answer me. He said, well, I think if I go out in them woods and I get close enough to get, this is what he said. I think if I get close enough to God, I go out there in them woods, I can speak in tongues. I said, and then what? I said, what's that do? Well, I just believe it, brother. And I was like, okay. I don't know what you believe or why you believe it or why it's a big deal, but you can't fear what people are going to say. You can't fear that some people aren't going to like it. Guess what? If everybody didn't like Jesus Christ, they're not going to like everything we do. They're not going to like everything we say. But I can tell you a mistake that the Pharisees made, and it was worrying about what people say. Do what's right. Preach the truth. Teach the truth. Do it in love. Love people and go on. And that's all we can do. And then, here's what they said. Here was their decision. If we say it's of John, of God, he'll say, why didn't we believe? And if we say it's of man, the people will be mad. So then they made this classic decision. We're just going to stay out of it. They said, we can't tell. Somebody asked me the other day, they asked me about somebody. They said, why don't they go to church? I said, well, they don't go to church because they said nobody can really know the truth. So they said, we're going to just stay out of it. If you just stay out of it, doesn't that sound nice? That's what I want to say. I'm just stay out of it. Nobody really knows, and I don't really know, and so because nobody knows, we'll just stay out of it. Well, you can stay out of it all the way to hell, because that's where people's going, heaven or hell. And you're not going to be able to just wake up one day and wake up in eternity and say, God, I tried to just stay out of it. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to seek the truth. There's a truth out there to be had. There's a truth to be known. There is a truth. That's a big thing going on today, that there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute right and wrong. Folks, that's a false statement and a false narrative that the devil's telling you to keep people from, guess what, finding the truth. You can't stay out of it. You can stay out of it till you face God one day, and then you're going to be in it. You can stay out of it down here, but one day you'll have to face God with it. And we need to understand that. So, here's some things today. If you're not passionate about truth, you don't want to know the truth, you don't want to search for it. By the way, the Bible says this, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what we all need to be doing? Diligently seeking Him. You know what I know? And I didn't ever have to read the Bible to know this. Ever since I was a little kid, I knew this. You know, it's just crazy when you think back on your life, and I think back on mine. Ever since I was a little kid, I thought, like, there's a God somewhere, and He made me. And, you know, you look up at the stars and the moon, and you think how big the galaxy is, and I said, I know. And you know what I said as a little kid? I just want to know who He is. I want to know who He is. I want to know what's right. I want to know the truth. And I want to tell you, if I ever come to find out, you know why I'm Baptist? I'm Baptist because I think that's what the truth is. And I think I can take that Bible and prove it. But if there ever comes a day when I think it's not the truth, I hope I would have the courage to change and say, this is not the truth. And we need to change. But you need to be passionate about truth. But if you're not, if today you don't care about truth, you just want to live your life and go on and you can do all those things or whatever, I want you to know, you lose. You lose. I want to know the truth about heaven and hell. I want to know the truth about salvation. I want to know the truth about God and Jesus Christ. I want to know the truth about marriage. I want to know the truth about sin. I want to know the truth about these things. And I want to know them because if I know the truth, I can win. And if I don't know the truth, I lose. Do y'all know I like winning and hate losing? Because I do. And I want to win. And I win when I know the truth. I want you to know, if you question Jesus' authority, and we say, well, I don't know if what His Word says is really accurate today. And you say, well, what can you say, Brother Derek, to make people mad? Well, the Bible tells us that we ought to spank our children. And, you want to tell you, people get mad now, like, what? You know, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, spank your children. In fact, it even says it a little even harder. It said, hey, you know what the Bible said? If they get bruised, they're not going to die. That's what the Bible said. Now, I know OCS might think differently by that, but the Bible said if you bruise their little leg from whipping them with a switch or you whip them with a bed, they're not going to die. And it, by the way, it'll do them a little good. But people don't want to hear that today. It's, oh, no. We're going to get a timeout instead. We're going to put them in timeout. Keep putting them in time out. They'll probably be in time out for 5 to 10 years up somewhere else, you know. But, hey, let's try to give them some help. But that's what the Bible says. But you say, well, I don't think God understands how to raise children in 2019. Well, I know we know better than God, but don't question His authority. How about we let God define what's right and wrong? Let's let God say what we ought to do. And that's just one example of where we go, oh, I don't think that's right. And I could give you a list of things. I don't want to give you a list of what makes people mad today because I don't want to make everybody mad. But the reality is, if you question Jesus' authority, you lose. You lose. You know how we win? By saying, He's God and I'm not, and I'm going to do what He said to do. I'm going to let Him. He's the creator of all things. He's the king. I'll let Him be king. If you don't want to be wrong, and you care more about not being wrong than you do about knowing the truth, then you lose. you lose. Don't fear that. Don't fear having to say, oh, I was wrong about that. I misspoke. I said something wrong. If you ever want to have people tell you how you did wrong, just start preaching sermons, right? You misquoted that scripture, or you said this and it really was this and it was that, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about that. Just say, hey, I was wrong. I want to be right, and I go on. If you're worried about being wrong and you can't handle it, you lose. You lose. If you fear what people are going to say, if you fear what mom and daddy thinks when it comes to God's word, if you fear what grandma thinks when it comes to God's word, you lose. You lose. If I start preaching my sermons not based on God's word, but what you want to hear, isn't that what the Bible said? He said in the last days they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're going to put people up there that's going to say what we want to hear. And if I do that, if I say, you know what, I'm just going to preach what you want to hear, and I'm just going to preach what I want to hear, we lose. We lose. And the last thing is this. You heard all this today, and you say, man, after hearing all that, I'm just going to stay out of it. I'm not going to have a dog in the race. I'm not going to have an opinion. I'm just going to sit back and say, hey, I don't really care. What happens? You lose. You lose. So search the truth. Find the truth. Claim the truth. Preach the truth. And live it out in our lives. And don't lose. Don't be like the Pharisees. You know what happened to the Pharisees? They lived an empty life, they served a dead religion, and they missed out on knowing Jesus Christ. They missed out on a life full of joy. They missed out on a life that was an abundant life. And in the end, they missed out on eternity. Don't let that be us. Amen. As we stand together and the song leader comes and the piano player comes, let's be passionate about knowing the truth in our lives.
Page number 240. Page 240.